check this. The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Hi, welcome all to episode 20 of the DL Debate. We have another packed show in store for you this evening. We're going to be speaking to Anne Cherman at their training session, speaking to club players and officials, and to Darren Gibson about the amazing investment into the club. We also have Niamh Connell manager Martin Regan on the line to discuss the defence of his title. But with the championship draw now, the first two rounds in progress, they're set up, we're going to have a preview with no other than Glenn Swillies, Gary McDade, a man that knows full well what it takes to lift the Dr. Maguire. Welcome, Gary.
Good man, Brent. Thanks very much for having me. Your show's going strength to strength, so congratulations on that. And suppose double congratulations on the birth of your new son yesterday evening. So it's been a hectic few weeks for you.
Yeah, you might hear it a small bit in my voice. Say this wet in the head sometimes goes a bit late into the night. But it was good fun. The reason I got you on, Gary, is because if the voice fades, I know you can talk us through it. So I'll just put out an odd question to you, and you can take it from there. Is that all right?
No worries.
Gary, I was just thinking about you in terms of your management and people in lockdown and that now. It must be a strange thing for managers in terms of preparation now and the mindset of a team and the fitness of a team now. You're going in a bit blind to the championship, but I suppose everybody is in the same boat.
Probably the big thing from a management point of view, I was thinking myself, not being involved this year, I was thinking the big advantage you would have had huge amount of time maybe to do things that you wouldn't usually get done, and you wouldn't be under as much pressure, and maybe to even try and build relationships even on a more personal level with players that you might be in more regular contact with them, regards through the phone or a Zoom call or something like that there, and maybe really building personal relationships, which are key in building a group together and trying to build a winning championship team. And then as well, I know every team would have been giving programs to their players, and listen, when they got back to training, I'm sure most teams would have been expecting their players to be at a decent level of fitness. Now, listen, they'll probably not up to scratch and would definitely have to be topped up, so it would, but it probably would have been a nice advantage that way, that you wouldn't have had to maybe concentrate too much on fitness. I'm sure the players were sick of running since the middle of March or whatever, since we went into lockdown, and they're absolutely dying to get back in the pitch and play a bit of ball again. So I think, you know, it would have been a good thing for managers, something completely different. I think everyone's going to be very fresh, everyone's going to be full of energy, so they are. They'll bring a real sense of enthusiasm to it. Like, we only have two league games, so we have in the regional league, which looks really interesting as well, so as with all local derbies based on your location, and then you're straight on the championship. So, like, there's no less case of years gone by where the championship draw was made in February and you played your whole league and you didn't start the championship to the end of August, start of September, where it was building and you were flogging. You know what I mean? It's a very short turnaround now, so it is. So I think it'll be a great enthusiasm and great excitement. And please God, the thing about the 500 getting in the game, I suppose the first regional game, makes 200 and 500 for the second regional game. Please God, and that might even go a bit higher after the 20th of July as well. So by the time championship comes around, we might fill out more than 500, because I think there's going to be great excitement to get back to these games, Ben.
Huge excitement. And Gary, your man's coached at many levels, coached county teams, underage schools, and that. Are you a manager / coach? Do you do both jobs?
Me personally, yes. When I was managing the Glen in the past, and the year we won the championship 11-13, I was managing that year and coaching, and then in 16 Michael Cannon was manager and I was on his coach, and to be honest, that was probably the easiest year from a personal point of view, because I didn't have to deal with any of the logistical side of it, or dealing so much with problems with players, or dealing with boards or anything like that there. Just all I had to do was turn up and coach the team, so that certainly is a very appealing thing. The thing that really appeals to me is on the field and getting stuck in the middle of it and getting stuck into the thick of it. That's what really appeals to me. And coaching was number one is what I really love, you know.
Yeah, that year was involved with unions, it was the exact same. I like the training to get that buzz and right the wrongs maybe of a previous game and see some progression. That was the excitement for me. I didn't really get a lot of buzz out of standing on the sideline, you know. And I was just saying, you're right, Gary, it's such a busy time for management. Like, we had three involved at that time, and you know, it was needed, you know. There's some pressure on a club manager in terms of, as you said, trying to organise all aspects and deal with all types of personalities and get everybody right. Massive, massive commitment. But Gary, I was just, anytime a job comes up now because of the CV, now you tend to get your name pops up all the time. But there was a strong word from Guidoor. Was there an approach made for you there?
But it was your woman coming from down there the minute you heard all that. What do you call it? Listen, there's always been approaches made from different areas around the county and outside the county. I had offers from a few clubs in Tyrone and even as far afield as Monaghan took one this year. But I just thought, after being heavily involved on for practically since 2011 with an adult team, like including the under-20s the last 2 years, I thought just this year, recharge the batteries, step back, and not be involved in the senior in a senior/adult team. So it's the first year since 2011 I haven't been, and listen, I'm enjoying the breakdown, and I was still coaching at the college, so I was flat out there, and then I have the big task of coaching the under sevens in the Glen, Brendan, trying to bring through the next group, you know.
Good man. They'll be well looked after. Tell me, I just see Stephen Casty joined the backroom team there at Guidoor. They've lost Michael Boyle, obviously, and that's a big loss. They've decided that they're going to just look after themselves in terms of they're going to take training and that. And I think it'll not be quiet with Cass in the backroom team. I'll tell you, a great man, and of course, listen, he's won championships with Guidoor. He'd be a good man to have in the dressing room. I hear word that young Gillespie, as he's coming back from his injury, is taking in training and that. So that'll be interesting to see how that pans out for them, because Michael Boyle, you know, one of the top coaches in the county, went to London, obviously, and he was a huge part of their success.
Listen, I know Boyle well. He was a coach slash selector with me. He was goalkeeping coach, actually, the last couple of years in the under-20s with me as well. So. And he's a lad I would know very, very well, and a huge respect, a huge time for. And I think he probably, maybe outside of Guidoor, he probably didn't get the recognition he fully deserved. So he did for what he did to the 2 years that he was in there with them. He, like, it's probably huge boots for Stephen now to go on and try and fill those boots of Michael Boyle. It certainly won't be easy. Like, Guidoor always had probably the players on paper the last number of years. And Boyer came in, and he was the gel that got them to stick together and really made them a formidable outfit. In particular, that first year, they were phenomenal. So they were. And listen, no one will ever forget the trilogy of games that they gave us last year against Glenties in the three county finals. Absolutely fantastic. It'd be a huge loss for Guidoor. And listen, he's London's game now, so he is over in London. And I think Guidoor, and people outside of Guidoor even more so, will realise this year that the impact that he did have when he's not there. They always say, Brendan's nearly like during the COVID there, you don't realise what you have until it's gone. You know what I mean? And we certainly didn't realise what we have with the GA. That, yes, you always appreciate it, but by God, you appreciate it even more now when it was taken away from you. And I think it's going to be a very similar story with the likes of Boyler. I suppose the big advantage is they've Owen McNeil is back from London. So that's absolutely huge. Like, to have a player of that calibre and just that skill, sublime skill level, to have him on board at home now, when opposed of COVID, or if COVID hadn't came, he would have been away for the championship, and would have been a huge loss for Guidoor if that had been the case.
Yeah, and Gary, listen, I totally agree. And I hear he's flying at training. Cass was saying that last week, so that's a warning shot to us all. Just looking ahead to the championship, then, Gary, there's a couple of, as you say, regional league games to blow off the cobwebs, but still, these first championship games is going to be, I suppose, for us all, as you say, it's an exciting time. It's going to be a wee bit of a step on the unknown, because at that rate of playing, you know, the league games, I don't think is going to get you right for what you would call normal championship. So you'll have to hit the ground running fast. And for, you know, we've got, what, four Masters, Guidoor, McCool's Ardra, Neve Connell, Mulford, Bundoran, St Eunan's. St. Michael's, Glenswally, Kilcar, Termon. Those early games there, what's your thoughts on them, Gary? Obviously the big four, you know, Kilcar, Gidor, Neve Connell, St. Unions. Is there anything outside of that you think they could pop their head up this year?
Well, I'm just really excited as well. I'm looking forward to see what the likes of RTE and TG Cahir are going to do, like, you know, because obviously they're showing club games at the minute, and I think there's a couple of games that stand out there that people around the country would be mad to see. Like for me, the tie of the round, and like, I'm not trying to sit with a bias cap on here, is Glenswally and St. Michael's in round one, the tie of the round, you know, and in round two, the tie of the round is obviously St. Unions and Kilcar, and I think that's the two games. If you were TG Carr or RT, you'd be looking at probably at those games. And the way the championship, probably, I'm nearly looking at the championship, Brendan, like back in 2012, where it's going to be run pretty quick again. So it was and yourselves, St. Unions came out on top in 2012. You had a really strong squad at that time, and I think St. Unions are definitely going to be one of the teams popping. It'll probably suit them because they have a strong squad, and with the championship being run off in 9 weeks, I think they're definitely going to be very, very close, if not go the whole way this year, because of the squad thing that they have. There's such strength and depth. And people talk about maybe that they needed more help up front for Niall O'Donnell last year, but a lot of people maybe outside of St. Unions won't realise that Shane O'Donnell's eligible to play this year, Niall's younger brother. So he has absolutely huge assets. So he has another scoring forward, which is what people were saying that they needed last year. So it'd be huge to have someone like him come in alongside and play alongside his two brothers. Probably, I'll say, Brendan, the last time that would have happened would have been the three McGeehans to play, three brothers to play for St. Unions. Sure. So that's exciting for St. Unions to have something like that. And there were a lot of lads I know come through the college there as well. Like, they have Owen Dowland, who was midfield for the Miners last year, midfield for the Macquarie Cup last 2 years. Absolutely huge man. So he is. I think he's going to turn out to be a great player. Parry McGettigan, who played in the DCU Freshers this year, just left Austin College as well, played full forward, the county under-20s, went to the Ulster final this year. So they have a lot of strength and depth with those young boys coming through. And what I like about Union as well, the reserve team the last few years has been phenomenal. They just steamrolled teams, so they have. It's all young Cubs, so it is coming through. So I think you'll see a lot of those boys getting the opportunity to step up this year in the senior team. So the tie around, as I said, is probably St. Michael's and the Glen. And they've been huge rivals. It's been a couple of years since they met in championships. It goes right back to 2011 when they met in the final. And we were lucky enough to put them that day. So we were in a very close game. I think it was a point in the end. And then 2013 and 2014, Brendan, was the first year of the groups. And we were in the group of death. They kept the groups, the same groups, for 2 years. It was ourselves and St. Michael's and Kilcar and Bundoran. And it was absolutely horrible in those games two years in a row. Horrible as in being involved in, because you had to go to the well every day. And thankfully, we were lucky enough to get over St. Michael's both days, but by the skin of our teeth. I mean, the skin of our teeth. So no doubt that'll be playing in St. Michael's mind. And they'll be thinking that the old Glen won. And like the Glen, when you manage this year, Parry Bonner's in. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He moved into the area. He's from Dunloe originally, so he is. He's a bank manager there in AIB. And he managed our minors last year and won a county minor league title with him, Division 2. So I think when people see the Glen this year, it's very much a change in the guard. So it is. There's a lot of young players in, which is probably what they needed. They needed a change of bringing through more young lads, and you'll see them with a lot of youth on their team. It's probably it's going to take a year or two now to start building again to be competing at the upper end. And then St. Michael's, you're probably looking, I mean, Michael Langan was phenomenal last year. I really, really looked forward to watching Donegal, in particular Langan, and when you've been watching St. Michael's in club football as well. Like, I think he's a player who will be absolutely massive for them in the championship this year. So you could have Murphy v. Langan could be the combat nature of that in that first round.
Yeah, Murphy v. Langan, the showdown. You're selling it already, my man, you're selling it. You know, yeah. Sorry, St. Noel's and Dunloe was two others, sorry, I just didn't call out in that first round there. Yeah, Gary, just tactics is huge at the minute. Donegal football, you know, the way Niamh Connell just stuck to what they're good at, and they got across the line and of course went all the way to an Ulster final and pushed a brilliant Kilkenny team so close the years previous. Sure, Gidoe were playing a similar type of tactic, you know, keep ball, counter attack, won Ulster, and I think Kilkear, only they met Slough Neil, would have won an Ulster. So huge focus on Donegal club football at the minute, even though there's no Ulster this year, Gary. You mentioned RTE, and I think the interest though will come because, you know, this isn't just a championship where it doesn't really matter what happens in Donegal. TG Cahir might throw on a game. These are top teams now in Ulster, not just Donegal. So massive focus going into your championship, and particularly from a tactical perspective, how teams are going to set up and how they're going to make the use of that. And I think likes of Kilkear probably were a bit open in terms of they never went that full defensive route. They went all out attack, and it maybe caught them up a bit. And as you say, with St Union's, maybe not just having the firepower up front, maybe that'll come right this year. So massive interest, I think, around the country in the Donegal Championship.
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, I was trying to figure out myself what's Glenty's feelings going to be on it as regards no Ulster club. Is it going to be really disappointed, or is it a thing that, listen, we don't have to worry about Ulster, this is a huge opportunity for us to go and get a back-to-back? Because I remember ourselves, after we won the county final in 2013 with the Glen, we went on to an Ulster final and unfortunately lost to Ballanderry, similar to like Glenty's did there this year. And the big thing all winter was that we have to get back to Ulster, we have to get one another county title and get back to Ulster. And listen, we got back to the county final that year and lost by a score to yourselves in the final, in the 2014 final. So we actually never got back to Ulster that year. So that's something probably possibly could work in Glenty's favour. Now, I think, you know, they'll have huge confidence after winning that trilogy last year. So they will. Last year, they had Anthony Thompson wasn't up with Donegal, so he was there the whole year, and I think he was a huge asset to them being around the whole time. This year they have Leo McSundad, and who's not with Donegal as well, he's full time now as well, so it could be a blessing in disguise for them. And like last year, I think they definitely brought something different compared to the previous 2 years. They didn't play as much a defensive game when they lost the ball. They didn't turn and run back to the 145. They pressed kind of in the middle third, so they did, and brought more engagement and more contact and were much more successful, and that as a result. And like you're on about St Union's there, like the defensively, like they have 600 county defenders, so they have alone, so they're going to be always very strong defensively. Like off the top of my head, like Keelan Waugh, Connor Parker played with Donegal, Eamon Doherty, Connor Morrison, Aaron Deeney, is up the seniors man I am for the 20s last couple of years. Absolutely some phenomenal defenders in there. And you talked about Kilkear probably that year. Slough Neil, they were unlucky, if you remember. They were missing Ryan McEwen, McBurty, Patrick with injuries, so they were. So we were really, really unlucky that year. And listen, the word coming out of there is that McShane, the fullback, and Michael Hegarty are apparently have hung up their boots. So that's their number three, Brendan, their number six gone. Yeah. And of course, John McNulty's back in the hot seat there, and there was word of Stephen O'Neill could have been contesting the manager's job there in Kilkear this year, but John got it in the end. So listen, it was a much sought-after job, so it was in Kilkear. I think looking at their fixtures, they've Termin the first game, and they've St Union's in the second game. I think this championship of all years will probably suit Kilkear better than any of the years previous. Why? Because it's earlier in the year, Brendan. There'll be a harder sod. So we're going to play the championship in August. We haven't played championship in August. I would say, Brendan, back since you were playing maybe in Donegal. So the hard sod's going to suit them because they're light on the feet, so they're going to move quicker over the ground. And listen, the final's fixed for the 27th of September, so I think they're going to definitely look at this and say, listen, this the hard ground will suit us because we're a fast moving team, so there as well. And listen, I don't buy into the thing that they go all out attack as well. Like I would have seen them that year, they won the championship and they dropped 13, 14 men when they didn't have the ball inside their own half, and maybe left Patrick up on his own as well. So listen, they've nothing to learn. the same boys. And they'll have Termin that first game, and they've beat Termin comfortably in championships in years gone by. And to me, that first game, Kilkear and Termin, I think both teams will nearly be looking at the second game as their big game, because from a Kilkear perspective, they'll be thinking we should have enough here to beat Termin. But Termin will be thinking our big one is the Bundoran one at home You know what I mean? That's what they're going to be looking at. Like, you know, from a tournament point of view, you would have been you're probably thinking that's a tough draw for Termin, the both teams that they got. But then you're probably thinking it could have been worse. We could have Kilcard, home and Bundoran away. So I think that they'll be happy enough with the way they got the draws. They're nearly going to go to Kilcairn, and if they get anything out of that game, it's going to be a bonus. But the big one for them will be Bundoran at home. Last year they had Bundoran at home, and Bundoran were lucky to get out of the Burn Road. Brendan with a 1.1, so they will. So I think that's going to be a real tasty game. So that second one,
Termin are certainly coming. The Man City of Donegal club football. Now you think, Gary, and you mentioned St. Union's there with the six defenders. Of course, be Sean Patton behind them as well, a huge factor going into that. So yeah, Gary, brilliant stuff. So many interesting encounters coming up there. Gary, is there anyone see that top four? Gary, you can't see the championship going outside Kilcare, Gidor, Niamh Conlon, Unions.
When you look at the two pools, Bren, I would agree with what you're saying. Your top four is your top four. Probably most people look at how's Gwydor going to react this year without Michael Boyle. You know what I mean? People might think that Gwydor is vulnerable when Michael Boyle's not there. So I guess we'll not see that until the championship starts. Four Masters have got it tough when you look at it as well. They have Gwydor the first game and they're away to Glenswally in the second game. So they have it tough there against them. And Killybeg then have Gwydor in the second game. And Killybeg's Glenfinn in the first game. Now, I know that in the past, Killybeg's would have struggled with Glenfinn, so that's not necessarily a definite one for Killybeg there either. And they're away to Gwydor in the second game. Then I know they played a challenge there a couple of weeks ago when Killybeg's beat Gwydor down in Gwydor. And listen, both teams were full pelt. They had everyone. So I'll say that videotape will be... It'll be worn out
for
the time they meet each other, Ben, so it will.
Always careful when the night friendlies there, Gary. You could set yourself up for a fall. Gary, listen, again, thanks so much for running through the championship there with us. That's Glenn Swillies, Gary McDade. Thank you, Gary. Chat to you soon, sir.
Okay, Ben.
Appreciate it. Right, folks, with the championship season on the horizon, I am joined by the current holders of the Dr. Maguire and their manager, Martin Regan of Niamh Connell. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brendan.
Martin, what a roller coaster 6 year, going into your sixth season you've had. Amazing stuff. I mean, championship in your first year, and then of course in 3 and 4 getting the county finals, which of course is no mean feat in its own, but for a club with Niamh Connell you expected to win them, and then of course going into the third final, Martin, and the saga of last year, and then coming so close to an Ulster. It's been an amazing journey, Martin, and you're going for it again.
Yeah, it's been an up and down 2 years of writing. I suppose we were no different the few years before that as well. We were always thereabouts, never too far away. But look, we've got over the line twice in the last 6 years, and we lost two finals as well. So look, there's positives and negatives, but you just take them as they come. And that's up. Well, there's you've good days and bad days.
And Mark, listen, I was in the same boat myself with Unions a few years back, where we had lost two finals. We went down to the third final. The pressure was immense. Because you would have been down as a team that had lost three finals in a row. And for ourselves going into that final, we were playing against, well, we were favourites and we thought we had a very good chance at, whereas you were going against Ulster champions and a team that was being lauded all over Ireland as a real common team. There wasn't many was holding out hope for you, Martin, and what unfolded then that saga. I mean, putting the three games together, it was stand clear stuff. And I thought myself, the character that your boys showed, and I had recently on John Gilday and Bradis and that, and just talking about, you know, obviously the championship breakthrough for you was the one that mattered, but certainly because of the how you won that, all the trials and tribulations and those three games and the two seasons before, that must go down as the greatest victory ever.
Ah, yeah, definitely. You know, I know you're saying there's pressure there, losing three finals. Yeah. I don't know if we had done that, but... We didn't really feel that pressure from outside. Like, the two finals we lost and last year, we were huge underdogs in all of them. You know, it's not that we were expected to win all three then. I know you were saying Unions lost too, but Unions would have been favours around that time as well. We were complete underdogs against Kilcare, against Gidor, and again last year we were complete underdogs. So we wouldn't have felt that pressure from outside or anything like that there, but within our own group, I think we did maybe put that pressure on ourselves that we wanted to get over that, and we didn't want to be the team that lost three finals in a row. And what you're saying about the final last year, it was unique. There's no doubt about that. There, it was special. I wouldn't say it was better than any other championship final. They're all different and they're all special, but there was something special about last year's, and that was the manner in which you won it. Just going to three games and winning it on the Wednesday night, and leaving, landing home at, it was close to midnight, right after midnight before we landed home that night, and that was a special night. So it was in the town last year, so.
Yeah.
It made a difference, yeah. We've never had a Wednesday.
Just, you really get the feeling, as I say, when we spoke to Brad, it's about the pride in the area, you know. There's something about being underdogs and being really written off and then coming through, as I say, everyone with it. And particularly, something really stands out for me in that time, Martin, was Darrell Boyle's point to put the Gidor 3 up, and he points the crowd. At that stage, you know, Niamh Collin were gone, the title was gone, and, you know, it was back to the drawing board. But where your players found, you know, that resolve to come back, that's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in sport, honestly. That would I think for anybody watching on, you couldn't but admire the lads for never say die, and that must be something that's now in the dressing room that you can really use going into the season.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that score myself, and I was wondering myself, had we anything on us to come back at that stage going 3 down? And that was next try. Like, things went for us next time, even Oran putting the penalty over the bar. If that had gone a goal and they got the 2 points after that, we went 5 down, we weren't coming back from that, realistically. Mm. And even at 3 down, I know we got a fairly soft free just before half-time to bring us back to 2. And that made a huge difference. Even at half-time, next time, there's only 2 down. Every point counted. And look, we got them wee breaks. All right, just before, in the previous game, I think Nathan Byrne was done for over-carrying, where there's a bounce that he hadn't seen. So maybe it counted, the decisions went against us that time. But definitely just the free before half-time was huge. That Leo won and earned the goals, and... You know, that did make it that a little bit easier half time that we were back to them in 2. We knew if we got the next goal, we were only kicking the ball away from levelling it up. And it was the momentum and all that there took us over them. And we managed to get the draw after extra time. It was huge.
Yeah, yeah. And Martin, you know, everybody then, of course, thought after all you should put on date and waiting for this county title that, you know, you might just... kind of write off Ulster, using other plans. You know, you're kind of for the Cavan champions and a quick turnaround. You beat Contribute, which is my cousin's team, actually. You knocked them out of the championship. Mick O'Dowd is involved there and his son was playing. And, of course, Kilcoo then, Martin, you know, such a strong side. The only side we've seen really give Corrifan a proper game, as it turns out, in this last couple of seasons. And, you know, there were so many aspects in that game. You could have won that title as well, Martin.
Yeah, you could. I think Ulster kind of ran its own course. It was never anything that was on the back of our minds, and it was never anything we were thinking about. Even after in the county final, like, we knew nothing about Castlerahan, and we had a quick turnaround. We really only had a day or two to think about Castlerahan, because we didn't think much about them that Wednesday night or the Thursday for that matter either. But, you know, the momentum built really over Ulster, and we'd never talked about getting to an Ulster final last year at any stage. No more than 2010 when we got to the Ulster final. We just took it game by game, and because we got over Castlerahan, it gave us 2 weeks. We were glad of them 2 weeks then to get the bodies right for Clontibret. And we got back to the training field the Wednesday, I think, after Castlerahan game. We gave them a few days off and got back the Wednesday and got back down to work again. And again, we played out probably our best performance of the year. Was that the Clontibret game, sorry, in the semi-final. Mm-hmm. Probably our best performance. And look at that, took us into an Ulster final. And we just came up short against Kilcoo. We probably didn't play as good as we felt we could have played on that day. But Kilcoo had the homework done with us too, and they were exceptionally well prepared and well drilled, and they were well deserving of the Ulster title. They were waiting a long time for it too.
Yeah, the serious management team. If you look at the background there, you know, they basically got a county set up there as well. Martin, and tell me, a lot of us neutrals looking on here have been waiting for this Niamh Connolly, maybe the change, evolution a small bit in terms of maybe going long, and you did in that Ulster final. Is that a warning to the rest of the club teams, you're going to change it up a bit this year maybe?
I don't know. We had Charlie and Kieran in there last year, right? They were a handful for any team, and it's just potentially we would have used a little bit last year. You know, we're lucky. We've loads of strings to our bow. When we get again, and Brendan McDowell, you have smaller, livelier forwards too that can play inside at different stages. And we're lucky, and it's something we've always felt the last few years. We're a fairly flexible team, and we have different game plans for different days. So look at those days. So we felt it would have suited that day against Kilcoo. Maybe we overused it, maybe not. It's hard to know, like, we got the 2 goals of it, but then we wasted a lot of tactics too. But what was the different games merit different tactics?
Yeah, it certainly caused a lot of confusion in their defence. And Martin, tell me, going into this season now, same backroom team, all players available again to give it another rattle?
Yeah, pretty much the exact same setup. a management team, pretty much. We had added Johnny McLoon to our management team, who was a huge help, but now Johnny's had to step aside for it while his young boy's very sick at the moment, so our thoughts are with him at the moment, and you know, it puts football into perspective too, things like that there. So Johnny's just stepped aside for the time being, but
yeah, good lad, good lad. I remember talking to Banty one time there, Martin. He was saying that he actually found county management easier than club management because there's so much done for you at county level, and club management you have to basically make all the calls and do all the setups yourself. It must be a busy time.
It's not too bad now, and I can't compare it to county management because I know nothing about it, but to be fair, we have great help here in the club, and I definitely couldn't say I'd do everything now. There's loads of help now around me with the club here as well and with the team, so definitely, I enjoy it now, and if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be involved, or if I felt it was too much, I wouldn't be involved, so yeah. I'm lucky in that I have plenty of help around me.
And what would county manager be something that you would be interested in?
No, definitely not.
Like, there's not a lot of candidates out there, you'd be one of them for me.
I'm enjoying my time now at the club.
You'll stick to the homeboy, say. You're going to go for the back-to-back. So, listen, Martin, that's great. Listen, I'm looking forward. You've got, of course, Milford up first in the championship, and then you've got a nice ding-dong derby with our draw. Looking forward to that.
Oh, definitely. Every day we play our draw. It's a big game, so it is. And
that'll get the cobwebs blowing off there. Martin, listen, fair play to you. And I say, done the county proud last year going into Ulster, and I wish you all the best in the season coming.
No bother.
Thanks,
you.
Martin. Great to hear from Niamh Connell manager Martin Regan there. And last week I was out and about. I took a trip down to the Burn Road, down to Termin GA, to have a word with their management and officials about the up-and-coming championship, and also caught up with Darren Gibson around the huge investment into the club. Of course, a lot of success has come to Burn Road this last few years, most notably with the ladies winning an All-Ireland title in 2014. Of course, they made it to an Ulster final last year, as did their minors, a similar season. And same as myself when I was a minor, making it to an Ulster final, which unfortunately we lost. And I'll tell you, the Burn Road is looking a lot different from it did in them days. Looking at Macklett here, and I'm standing with trainer and manager Francie Friel. How are you this evening?
Very good, Bren. Very good.
And Francie, how have you been getting through the lockdown yourself? It's been a challenging time.
Yeah, definitely so. You know, I was meant to go on the job at the start of the year, you know, putting plans in place with training and stuff like that. And then you get hit by the sucker punch of COVID-19. You know, opposed in fairness, it was worldwide. So, listen, we just had to deal with it. And it was just hard, you know, when you're training with a group and stuff, you have plans made and stuff like that there. But we just had to deal with it. And, you know, we didn't know from week to week. When at the start, everybody was saying, you know, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. But it turned out, you know, it was, 12 or 14 weeks before we did get eventually back to the pitch.
And Francie, tell me, you're synonymous with Dermot GAA between playing and coaching. You've coached at all levels, including with the Donegal seniors. Yourself and Johnny McGinley taking the reins. And this is going to be one big bush. Have you been getting together a blueprint there in the lockdown for a championship?
No, listen, the bottom line, I suppose we have a up and coming team, you know, coming here, you know, with the minors who won the championship last year, you know, and got to an Ulster final. A very good minor team this year again, you know, probably, I don't know if there's going to be an Ulster championship this year, but Donegal are going to give it a rattle again. They're a very good team. Listen, just an up and coming team, and, you know, pose in fairness, it was a job that, you know, kind of I really wanted to get involved with, and I see it as, you know, it's a project, you know, it's not just going to be 1 or 2 years, you know, I think long term, you know, you have to look, and it's a long term plan, and, you know, hopefully eventually we'll maybe get to the top table.
And Francie, tell me, had you got individual training regimes for players, or was there a chance a few lads could meet up collectively then? Did you keep the players ticking over during lockdown?
Yeah, at the start, Bren, you know, we start, you know, getting grips, you know, getting them into grips and stuff like that there. And, you know, but into about 3 or 4 weeks, we could see no end coming. We kind of let the boys go for a couple of weeks. We just told them to take a break, complete break from it, you know. And, geez, listen, a couple of weeks into it, the boys were looking for stuff themselves, you know. They were kind of bored. There was nothing to do, like, you know. So we started then, you know, ringing people around and see what they wanted to do, and we got them into groups and put groups of twos and stuff like that there, and just, you know, not meeting up together but doing their own stuff, you know, kind of collectively if they could, in groups of twos. And then eventually we got then up to groups of five, you know, and then eventually then we got up to the back to the main training again, you know.
Yeah, and I'll be talking to Darian Gibson later about the windfall. Johnny McCaffrey was speaking to me last night and says you're going to start loaning out money to Cubs that are a bit more less fortunate than yourselves. Would that be true?
Definitely not, you know. That money, you know, there's plenty of places for that money to go, you know, in fairness. In fairness, I want to just give a big shout out to Darren, you know, for that's a serious acquisition to get that money, you know. In fairness, it doesn't surprise me that someone like Darren could just go and get that, you know. And listen, the club's going to benefit long term with it, you know, and hopefully, you know, with the money, it'll generate great well for the players.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I'm looking forward to hearing how it all came about. Surely, Francie, lastly, just your time with Donegal, of course, McGuinness and his magical tactical plan and his training regimes and that. How much of that now do you pull on the experience of the likes of being involved in the county team now with this Termonde team?
Oh, definitely. You know, that was one of the big highlights for myself. You know, up learning from the best, like Jim. You know, and definitely, you know, you leave there. Like, you know, put a mention out to Rory Gallagher as well, and even Maxie, and I was involved in with Gary McDade with the 21s. All them people I've learned off. You know, brilliant men. They've all, you know, won something. You know, so listen, I take everything on board. Take everything, you know, and hopefully fill it back in here. And that's what you do when you go away. With the involved county teams, you have to take it back to the club, and I think, you know, that's what we're trying to do here.
Good man, Francie. Wish you all the best in the championship. Wish you.
Thanks to me.
Right, I'm joined now by Dara McDade and Nathan Michael Wayne of Termonde Club, and we're just literally, the draw is coming through live. We've got a nice handy one, Kilcare away. That'll shake the cobwebs off. What do you think?
It was probably the one kind of team you didn't want to get in that first round, but sure. It is what it is. We'll go at it and make a good stab at it. I suppose if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best.
Very well put. And tell me, you're both club captains here, for young men, bit of responsibility on the shoulders this season, Nathan?
Yeah, definitely. Now listen, myself and Dara were kind of, well, this year we're nearly two of the older men on the team at this stage. We have a very young panel coming through, so we've been playing senior now maybe 6, 7, 8 years together, so listen, it's just bringing it all together now with these young boys coming through.
Yeah, that's a great minor team. So usually, it's funny how quick you can become the daddy. I was speaking to Kevin Cass last week, and he's almost a granddaddy stage down there. He's going to keep it going. Tell me, just in the lockdown there, difficult to keep your head around it in terms of you didn't know if you're going to come back or when you're going to come back.
Yeah, personally, I thought we wouldn't be back this year at all, but it is great to be back now. Once you are back, you realise how much you missed it. Suppose every team is on the same boat as well. They've only gotten the couple of weeks training and then just straight into the league and championship. So, yeah, it's good to be back.
And tell me, Nathan, itching as well to get back. Tell me, the rest of us here have put on a few pounds in the lockdown. I can only imagine what you boys are like, because motivation is the key to training. And with you not knowing when you're going to come back, how were you able to keep yourself disciplined? You were out still hitting the hills here, were you?
Yeah, we were doing a wee bit. Listen, we try to keep ticking over. Boys are different. Boys thought we were going to be back, and other boys thought maybe it might be a long year and just rest up for the and get ready to go again next year. But no, we did. We met when we could. We got in twos and threes and ran on the roads. But it's a different ball game then when you go back to the pitch and the ball's introduced and Francie and Johnny's both roaring at you.
And tell me, who's the best trainer out of the two of us here? Who's leading the runs?
Jeez, I think we're both struggling with injuries. I think we could be back. But the run now, the hard yards has to be put in too, so all's going well, thankfully. So.
And tell me, Nathan, in terms of just this group now, is it kind of the old scenario, one game at a time, or is the aim to get out of the group and look no further? Is that kind of the mindset going into this?
I think so, yeah. Listen, when you're going into championship, the main aim is always just to get out of the group. But I think this year with such a young team, like, the first game is going to be a big wake up call to some of the younger boys, so I think we might just take it one game at a time and we'll see how it goes from there.
And Dara, tell me, you've raised a lot of eyebrows with scoring feats there. Is there anybody else making a call to you or looking to interview you maybe coming up? Is it something on the horizon?
No, nothing at all, no. But I suppose as a forward, it's the main job to score and just to help the team. So I'll just do my best. And we've a couple of good shooters on the team as well. Andy McCormick, with Ray McFadden, another young boy, Keelan McDade, all good shooters. So yeah, we've plenty of scorers on the team now. So
You've a bit of backup. Listen, lads, thanks very much. I want to wish you all the best in the championship this year. Thanks for joining us on the DL Debate.
Now I am joined by none other than Darren Gibson of Gibson's Associates to talk about an amazing story that broke last week around a huge investor scheme by a lady called Nicole Shanahan under the Termonde GA Club. And Darren set it all up and he's on to tell us about it. How are you today, Darren?
Not too bad, Brendan.
Darren, well, most of us like maybe buy a club lotto or sell a couple of tickets for a house draw, but you kind of went all out there in terms of getting on sponsorship.
Well, Look, Brendan, obviously it's a unique scheme. There's no question about that. It takes a couple of key ingredients to make it happen. Probably foremost in those ingredients as one very generous person, and Nicole Shanahan. She's been fantastic, and you know, could really see the value of an investment in sport, could really see the value of an investment in a community-based organisation like the GA, and in particular Termin GA. So, you know, when you look at what Termin GA and what the GA in general is about in terms of the values that it has of respect, inclusiveness, amateur status, volunteerism, you know, those are the types of things that resonated with Nicole and, you know, aligns well with her own organisation's values. So, look, it was good to put the groups together, and ultimately it has worked very well.
And tell me, Darren, has she got any links to Ireland, or were you working with her? How did this kind of initially come about? How did you get to know her?
Nicole would be a client of our office. We would do some work together. She would have, as the name probably suggests, Shanahan, Irish ancestry. Her grandfather had links to Ireland. So, you know, it was a thing that Nicole wanted to establish more tangible links to Ireland. She's heavily involved, and her foundation's heavily involved in, you know, social justice and reform. She's an attorney by trade, a Stanford graduate, she has a company called Clear Access IP. Look, there could be some developments there going forward as well for the Irish business community.
Yeah, and certainly, Darren, I suppose the Termin Ladies initially was the one that put you on like a national map with their brilliant 2014 All-Ireland victory. Of course, they were in Ulster final last year. Your Miners come through with a fantastic season last year, going all the way to an Ulster final. Darren, and you yourself have talked about the club. You've put a five-year plan in progress. The grounds have been developed. The pitch, I was down there last week. The pitch is looking immaculate. You know, it's a really great time in a Termin club at the minute, building for the future.
Aye, the club's progressing very well. I mean, it's always been a great place to be. The club was founded in 1963 by a couple of people that are still heavily involved in the club, which is fantastic. So you have that immediate link to the people who had the vision to start it. And the club has always been fairly progressive. Obviously, you know, it's in a kind of a rural hinterland outside of Letterkenny that has benefited now in the recent past with the population growth in Letterkenny. And has to cater for larger and larger numbers all the time. And that was one of the kind of impetuses for people getting together, whereby we could expand the facilities that we have so that we could cater for that increased number and, you know, let people have the opportunity to kind of participate in GAA and feel the full benefit of the values that the GAA has to offer. And thankfully, we have a very committed group of people in Termin at the moment who did get together about 24 months ago, drafted a five-year plan. And thankfully, you know, we're well on our way to achieving many of the actions that we identified in that plan. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of hard work to be done. I think that the team that's there will definitely meet it because there's a willingness and there's a commitment to see it through, which is fantastic.
Fantastic. It's some story, Darren. I was just thinking, the last time there was such an input into any club, it was Andy St. Eunan's and the boom times when Dr. McDavid was Minister for Sport and Tourism. Of course, another Termin man. Hey, used Termin guys know how to move and shake out there.
Aye, well, in fairness to Dr. McDavid, he did some fantastic work back in the day, not only for St. Eunan's, but I think there's hardly a club in the whole of the county that hasn't a plaque in the wall with Dr. McDade's name on it. He was a great investor in sports, obviously, as the Minister of Sports, and I think, you know, the whole county felt the benefit of his inputs at the time. And look, I mean, what we're doing in Termin is very much, you know, certainly the investment comes onto the Termin Club, but it's the entire community who benefit, and, you know, not only the community of Termin, Kilmacrenan and Yarton, but also the entire GAA community and sports community of Donegal. This is a facility for everybody, and everybody will feel the benefit of going forward.
Certainly, Darren, and with that type of input, I don't think a plaque on the wall would do you justice. Not that I know the type of you, Darren, I know you well, not that you'd ever even look for that. But Darren, listen, you were a handy footballer yourself on the day. Of course, people, we shouldn't forget that. You're up in the county squad with me. And to have someone like yourself that embedded in sport and given that much back to the community, I just have to say, fair play to you. That's such a massive thing. And as you say, the benefits to the entire area, I'll reap the rewards for years going forward.
Aye, look, I mean, the GAA has been a very important part of my life. Played since I was 7 or 8 years of age and had the pleasure of being involved in, you know, tournament teams and school teams and so on and so forth. And it's just, I mean, it's a brilliant experience and a brilliant organisation that has been created for us. And I think we all have an obligation, certainly the people who've benefited from it, to share that out and allow as many people as possible to benefit from it. And I mean, you know yourself, Brendan, you know, the football really is only one part of what the organisation has to offer. I mean, it has so much more to offer, you know, in terms of, you know, culture and, you know, the practice of, you know, Irish traditions and so on and so forth. And the more people we allow in and get in so that they can facilitate and feel that, I think the better it is for the entire community.
Very well said, Darren. Darren, just a wee memory come into my head there as we're talking about your own dedication. I remember you got married and you landed at the Donald Park for a championship game with a wedding suit still on you. Nothing was going to keep you back from the match.
That's right. that, believe it or not, is 15 years ago now this month.
Don't forget those dates. Don't forget them.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, that was a big challenge at the time. Against St Union's on a very enjoyable encounter. Unfortunately, I think you guys had the upper hand.
We scraped it. One point just there, we scraped it. We were lucky.
That's right. But nonetheless, it was an enjoyable day and we had a great celebration after that, regardless of the result.
Fantastic stuff, Darren. Brilliant story. And as I say, fair play to you again and thanks for joining us here on the DL Debate. It was great to hear from the Terman crew there, just down the road from us here. Love thy neighbour, unless you're on the Burn Road taking a few hard shoulders. Great bunch of lads, and I want to put a special congratulation out to the Terman joint manager, Francie and Moya, on the birth of their little daughter, Eva. It's all happening with babies this week in the DL Debate, with my own landing yesterday, and Martin Regan has a baby coming down the line as well. That'll keep us all on our toes. Folks, that's a wrap for episode 20 of the DL Debate. Coming up next week, we're going to have reports from the Hurling Championship, the Ladies Championship, and a preview of the Intermediate and Junior Championships. That's all coming up next week on the DL Debate.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.